need to shoot it.
We are on record in Latah County case CR-05-2027. It is the state of Idaho versus Stephen Sittler. Present are Mr. Thompson, who represents the state. Mr. Renfier is present on behalf of probation and parole. Mr. Woolenwaber is present on behalf of Mr. Sittler. I note for the record that Mr. Sittler is not present. Let me make sure that I have what everybody else has. I have an email to Mr. Douglas from Dr. Craig, dated 5/31/2011. I have a letter of June 1 from Mr. Thompson to me with various attachments. The first is a three-page letter from Thomas Hearn, dated May 18, 2011. There's an attachment, the AASI 3VRT, which is a graph, one page in length. There's the AASI 3 for men summary, the danger registry, dated 5/17/2011. There's an email from Mr. Thompson to Mr. Woolenwaber, dated May 24, 2011. An email from Mr. Thompson to Mr. Woolenwaber, dated May 26, 2011. Which looks to be a three-page stream of emails back and forth. I think there was something else I saw. There's a letter from Mr. Thompson to me, dated May 27, 2011, along with a letter from Mr. Lanfear to Mr. Thompson, dated May 27, 2011. This is the time set for a status conference in this case. How would you like to proceed, Mr. Woolenwaber?
I think, Judge, if it pleases the court, by a narrative of what I understand the context to be, and then a request.
You may proceed.
The court will recall that for some years now, Stephen Sittler has been on a supervised probation and having pled guilty to a serious felony, and he has also been in treatment with Stephen Lemsley and Dolphin Lombard and others at Valley Treatment Services in Clarkston, and he has been under the therapy with Dr. Greg Wilson, who has extensive experience with sex offenders on a multiple times per month, about 5 years ago, 2 to 3 times a month, a couple of years ago, and now it's on a once per month basis with Dr. Greg Wilson. During that time, the probationer has completed the treatment at Valley Treatment Services, and he is now in what they call an aftercare status, where he still is in communication with them. And I don't know the frequency, I think it's monthly that he meets with them. But he has graduated or completed their treatment program. In the autumn of 2009, there was application made to the department that this particular probationer reestablish contact with a particular sister and her family, and some of the family members have been victims, and that he reestablish contact with a particular uncle and with his family, one or more of whom, whose children had been victims, and that was approved both by Valley Treatment Services and by the department. In the fall of 2010, particularly October 2010, a request was made by this probationer to the department for the purpose of visiting a Katie Travis and her family for Christmas, and this request was made both verbally and in writing by the probationer to the department. The written request said that the purpose was possibly to propose and that the probationer needed a ring and the permission of the young woman's father first, and the logistics of the trip were made as part of the application permission. That was approved. And so for the dates December 24 through December 28, that was approved. And there are exchanged emails back and forth between the probationer and the department in connection with that application. A similar application was made to Valley Treatment Services, starting with an application that the now fiance, then the young woman, would apply to become a chaperone. And so she submitted materials to and went through training at Valley Treatment Services and completed that training to be a chaperone via Dave Nystrom down there. Also, application was made in November 2010, which I think is relevant, that a particular family friend who also had chaperone status would be visiting in town with four boys, and they spent the night at the probationer's house with the minors. He had never had minors stay at his house before then, and the department and or Valley Treatment Services approved that overnight stay. Additional details were given about the activity request, as it's called, including the name of Katie and her phone number, etc., and that was approved by Valley Treatment Services in connection with the proposal, including where dinner would be held. This is in a remote location, Fallon, Nevada, and the dinner at the airport and casino was approved for that visit. In January 2011, so approximately 5 months ago, permission was requested for an extended curfew to 1 a.m. in order so that the now fiancé, when they say now, by mid-January 2011, could go to dinner with the probationer and be out till 1 a.m. That was approved. In February 2011, a request was made for the to the department for the probationer to go to Spokane in connection with picking up the fiancé and details regarding the upcoming wedding, including being fitted for tuxes and returning the fiancé to the airport. That was approved by the department. In mid-April 2011, permission was requested by the probationer that he be able to cross the state line with his fiancé to go to Pullman to view various photographs that were taken in association with the upcoming wedding. That was approved by the department. Honeymoon arrangements were discussed verbally, and later this was in early April 2011, and they were followed up because there was some sort of a mix-up on one side or the other, and the written application had to be sent again in connection with honeymoon arrangements, including addresses and details about where the honeymoon would occur. That was verbally approved, but there has never been yet the written approval received back from the department. All of the details were set out in what is called the Activity Request Safety Plan that is in the custody and control of the department at this time, but as I say, has not been returned. Stephen Lindsay, all these months, approximately 6 months, was verbally quite happy about the probationer getting married. Dave Nystrom was happy about the probationer getting married. Dr. Greg Wilson, who, as I say, has been treating the probationer on no less than once per month basis for many years, was happy about this particular probationer getting married. Approximately 3 weeks ago, though, in reaction to various blogs and other public negative notes regarding the prospective marriage, someone within the Department of Corrections, no doubt with an office south of Riggins, sought to have an able assessment inventory conducted by an entity in Coeur d'Alene, and that was arranged. Now, before that announcement was made, over these 6 months, the family, of course, had spent several thousands of dollars on getting the wedding arranged. There was a web site in connection with the Travis and Sittler wedding site for some months. So in other words, everything was not only had the approvals I mentioned, but was quite public and open. More than 250 RSVPs have been received back to date. There have been a lot of people by airline tickets, scheduled vacations, make hotel reservations, and so forth. All of the traditional things that one associates with a formal wedding. I do also note as a footnote that in the court's order of May 2007, and paragraph 25, may I have just a minute, Judge?
You may.
The court ordered at paragraph 25 and the filing date on this is September 7, 2007 that a supervision and treatment team consisting of defendant's supervising probation officer and consisting of Steve Lindsley and consisting of Dr. Greg Wilson, who I've just named, and others as appropriate, will meet personally or by conference call on a regular basis to monitor the defendant's progress and to assist the supervising probation officer in giving such direction as may be necessary and appropriate for the furtherance of the defendant's treatment while maintaining the protection of society. I represented the court that Dr. Greg Wilson sought, at that time the probation officer I believe was Jackie Squire, sought by a telephone and other means, email, to set up such telephone meetings, and my understanding is not a single one was ever conducted, nor was Dr. Greg Wilson included in the communications in the recent weeks by the department, either here or in their office south of Riggins, in connection with issues that have arisen in the last 6 months. That being the case, I note further that there is nothing in the court's orders, and there is nothing that I have found after studying, I think, every document that has been issued by the Department of Corrections or PNP, nothing saying that the probationer may not get married. There is an association paragraph in the original probation order, but as I've outlined, not only has the department not said that probationer may not associate with this particular person, but moreover, they have cooperated and facilitated and supported all of the contacts, and engagement, and all down to the details of tuxes and photos and invitations and so forth. So the wedding is scheduled for June 11. Action wasn't taken in connection with the testing by on order by somebody at the department, as I say, until approximately 3 weeks ago. Maybe it was 4 weeks ago, something like that. The test has come back. Dr. Greg Wilson has sought to, who has an extensive history not only with sex offenders, but with psychometrics in connection with determining which tests are appropriate and which are not. The court will recall there was a hearing in this court. I can't recall if it was in 2006 or 2007. I believe it was in 2006 when the probationer was here in court, having returned from Cottonwood, in connection with the validity and reliability of certain sex offense related testing devices. Dr. Wilson has a lengthy affidavit in the court file on that issue. Now, his affidavit in that, at that time, did not apply to this particular test, this ABLE assessment inventory, but a similar analysis was sought to be done by him on a rush basis in the last couple of weeks. In order to do that, you have to have the all of the testing devices, and some of the important testing devices are deemed to be proprietary and therefore not available either to Mr. Hearn, who conducted the test, or to Dr. Wilson. I point out that the testing was done by a master's level sex offense counselor, as is also Stephen Lindsay of that category. It was not done by a psychologist or somebody who has any psychometric training. Mr. Hearn, a copy of whose letter you now have, and again, we can't test the underlying bases for his opinions, gives a negative read, at least in part, to the ABLE test. That's A-B-E-L. That was recently done. I've been handed in the last several minutes the one sentence letter by a psychologist, chief psychologist from the Idaho Department of Corrections, Richard Craig, that before this time I had never seen, which on balance does not seem particularly negative. It really doesn't weigh one way or the other. I do point out that Dr. Greg Wilson, has indicated that the ABLE test is not being used for an appropriate purpose here if the purpose has anything to do with this particular probationer getting married. That is not what the ABLE test is built for. It's built as a monitoring device and should be used at the beginning of treatment and then downstream on treatment, 3, 4, 5 years, to see whether the same probationer using the same test shows any improvement in a series of categories. It is not to be used singly, at the end of treatment to test anything. And a number of the questions are quite confusing in that regard. They will say things like, since the time you were 18, have you done XYZ? Since the time you were 18, have you thought XYZ, and so forth? The question here should be very narrowly focused on what the status of this young man is now. And actually, Dr. Craig points out some of those matters, some of those weaknesses in the testing. I hasten to point out there have been not only no violations, but Stephen Sittler has made significant strides. He's been a productive member of society. He has completed 3 years of college in chemical engineering, and his grades were actually quite good until the last semester when he spent so much time on the phone and emails with his fiancée. He's still above a 3 point. Also, he is working in construction. I don't have the name of the firm off the top of my head, but he's earning approximately $14 an hour on a part-time basis, putting himself through school, along with grants and loans. So that his parents are not paying for his college. He's doing that on his own. I have advised my, I should give attention to just, we received a letter signed by Warren Lanfear. I hope I'm saying that name correctly. With a name like Willem Weber, I'm very sensitive to those issues. may I have just another moment?
You may.
I'd like to get the wording correctly. Yes, I have it. It is dated May 27, 2011, and I believe this is one of the items that the court recited that it had before it. It makes reference to the ABLE assessment that I've already spoken to. We believe that it is a testing device that is not vetted, it's not reliable, it's not valid. It is not, there is no independent, there's nothing independently written about it in the Burroughs Mental Measurement Yearbook that was talked about extensively in the earlier affidavit by Dr. Wilson. But leaving that even to one side, if it is a legitimate test, it is to be used only in connection with treatment on a before and after basis, where it is, as I've already mentioned, it itself is used on twice rather than just once randomly at the end. There was mention made of Mr. Sittler's religious beliefs in the letter of Mr. Lanford, and also reliance on an alleged statement of Mr. Sittler's of his intention to begin having children within a year. Mr. Sittler has told me, and I represent to the court, that what he said was he did not intend to have children for the year, or even to consider doing so until after, a year after the wedding. In any event, Mr. Sittler concedes, I concede, and his family concedes, that the issue of children is a completely separate, completely distinct issue from the issue of marriage. Quite clearly, there are probation orders in connection with him not being in the presence of minor children, and that will come into play, obviously, if and when there are children. I'm not fighting against that now. I won't fight against it in the future. That is to say that there have to be some special mechanisms in place. But that's not the issue today. The issue today is marriage in the context of 6 months of knowledge by the department that this was coming. 6 months of the department not having its regular meetings as ordered by this court. For some reason, somebody in the department waiting until just several weeks before the actual wedding itself, before they got around to having a test that is an inappropriate test. I've advised my client, after a review of all these materials, that there is nothing preventing him from getting married in the court's orders, nor in the particular orders of the department. There's one in particular that I thought was going to come close, and it did not, and I think it's important to point out the language of it. There is a sexual offender agreement of supervision signed by the department, at that time Jackie Leonard, on May 22, 2007, and signed by the probationer on that same day. And so paragraph 6 says, I will not form or unite in a romantic interest or sexual relationship with a woman until my probation officer and or therapist determine that the individual is able to give effective consent. Period. And then it goes on. Well, in this particular case, Katie Travis has manifested her ability to give effective consent. She is 23 and she took the chaperone treatment counseling education down at Valley Treatment Services and received their imprimatur that way. So I take that phrase, since the until clause is satisfied, to mean that he indeed can be in a romantic interest. Now, I recognize that fornication in the state of Idaho is still a crime, so he can't do that. And that brings us then to June 11 and the wedding with this person that up until just a few weeks ago, the department had knowledge of and really had approved of and had been happy about. So under that context, I may be leaving a thing or two out, but I think I've captured the gist of it. I've advised my client that he does not need to do anything further, but just go ahead with the wedding. We have the odd language of the letter signed by Mr. Lamper that says that basically the department cannot support the marriage. The letter does not say thou shalt not get married. frankly, I don't think that the department itself, in and of itself, has the jurisdiction to say that, because that would be adding a material component to the probation, and I think only the court can do that. At any rate, there's disagreement about it. It may be that others could read that letter to say, well, what they really mean is thou shalt not, and they're trying to be nice about it. I don't think that's the case, but I'm not the one who ultimately will make a decision either today or at a potential future hearing. So I'm laying this all before the court in the context of a status conference to say that if there were serious reasons, legitimate, substantial, substantive reasons why this marriage ought not occur, separate from the children issue, then surely it should have occurred to the department, say 6 months ago or 5 months ago, before all of the details were in place and all the money had been spent, all the reservations were made, etc., in connection with this wedding that's to occur 1 week from Saturday. Indeed, we wouldn't be here today unless the defense had taken the initiative to set up a status conference. And the way things had played out, if I had it all to do again, I might not do that, and I might just say, Stephen, go ahead and have your wedding. Now, maybe that would be unwise. And so in this conundrum, I'm coming to the court and I'm saying we have this situation where reasonable minds could differ about the meaning of the language in that curious letter that says we cannot support this wedding or this marriage. And I'm simply asking the court to allow the marriage and reserve to itself for a future time the issue about what the protective devices will be that the court will require if and when there are children, and perhaps to even go further and say, for a period of time, you are not to have you're not to have children, or something like that. But to try to stop the wedding at this late date seems manifestly arbitrary and capricious by the department, and manifestly unfair.
Thank you, Mr. Wallinger. Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm thinking maybe the best way to give some accurate insight, or to give more insight to the court. We're not disputing the historical facts that Mr. Wollenweber has related to the court. The state would call Mr. Lamford to the stand and explain where we are and how we got here today.
Mr. Lamford, if you could face the clerk and raise your right hand to be sworn, please.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you give in this case should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, under penalty of perjury?
Aye.
Please be seated.
You may inquire.
Thank you, Your Honor. Would you please state your name for the record, spell your last name?
Warren Lanphier, L-A-N-P-H-I-E-R.
And where do you work, sir?
For the Adelbarton Corrections for Probation and Parole here in Moscow.
What's your job with the Department of Corrections?
I'm a senior probation and parole officer supervising a general caseload and sex offender caseload here in Moscow.
And how long have you been doing that?
Here in Moscow for 3 years and another year in Boise.
Are you Stephen Sittler's probation officer?
Currently.
How long have you been his probation officer?
Since October.
Of last year?
Of last year, yes, correct.
And who was his probation officer before then?
For the majority of the time, it was Jackie Squire Leonard. There for a short time, Shauna Hopple supervised him in between the two.
You've been in court today, as Mr. Wollenweber described, a series of events that occurred, particularly starting last October, in relation to Mr. Sittler establishing a relationship with a Katie Travis and progressing towards plans for the two of them to get married?
Yes.
Is what Mr. Wollenweber related to the court historically pretty accurate as far as the permission for them to meet, for Mr. Sittler to travel in December to propose, permissions being given to facilitate pre-wedding planning such as tuxedo rentals and those sorts of things?
It is correct. The only thing that it's missing is the what I did on my end to get those approvals done, to make it so that it was okay for him to to go on the trips.
Okay, if you could briefly explain, please, for Judge Stegner what you did that we aren't aware of in that regard.
Well, beginning with his permission request to go to Fallon, Nevada to meet with Ms. Travis, I staffed it not only with my supervisor, but also with Steve Lindsley, and discussed, you know, the potential of him getting married, what our opinion was about him getting married. And at that time we discussed that, we thought that this was a great idea, that him getting married, and in my experience in supervising sex offenders and the training that I've been to, a sex offender that is involved in an age appropriate pro-social relationship is a positive thing. So Steve Lindsay had no issue with it. My supervisor had no issue with it, so we granted the permissions for him to travel.
It sounds that at this point, an issue has now come up in regard to the appropriateness of Mr. Sittler getting married from the Department of Corrections perspective. Is that correct?
Yes.
What started that concern?
Sometime this spring, I want to say the latter part of March, probably early April, I had a conversation with Stephen at his residence in reference to, it was a general home visit, and we got to talking about the potential for him to get married and some of the challenges he was going to have, and the discussion came to him having children, and I asked him what his thoughts were on that, and he said that, well, one, and to refer to what Mr. Wollenweber brought up in the letter about his religious belief, we discussed that that children and family are core and central to his religion, and that was, you know, in a conversation I had with him. So that's the reference to his religious beliefs that's in that letter. And then he told me that Katie was still in college, and then once she graduated, finished her program that she was in, they were going to begin starting to have a family at that point. He said it wouldn't happen within the first year. So that's when I became a little bit more excited about it and started a email conversation with my supervisors and with Steve Lindsley and with the people down in Boise to discuss what we thought should happen. It didn't happen as quickly as I would have liked it. I've been trying to push this as quickly as possible for Mr. Sittler's benefit, because I hate the fact that we're sitting here today having to do this 2 weeks or 10 days before the wedding's supposed to happen. Anyhow, that's kind of where all that came from and why this didn't happen until just in the last few weeks.
And the concern about children is because Mr. Sittler has been diagnosed as a pedophile. Is that correct?
Correct.
As we sit here today, what are the department's concerns in regard to Mr. Sittler's wedding?
A couple of things, and this is the discussion that I had was with Henry Atencio, who's our chief of community corrections, and with William Loomis from the deputy AG's office, was the potential that if in a year from now he decided to have kids, we're going to have to do something that could inevitably break up this marriage. That's one part of it. Another part of it, and this is a discussion that I had with Steve Lindsley, is the unknown risks. One, Stephen professes to be a virgin now, so he's never had sex with a woman. And once he starts this relationship, is this going to meet his needs? Is it going to be something that's going to work? So it's more of an unknown risk than an actual risk that we have at this time.
And that latter, that would have been a risk even without the concern about having children, isn't that correct?
Yes.
So would it be fair to say that what triggered the concerns that brings us here today is the prospect of children from this wedding a year or so down the road, or starting a year or so down the road?
Yes.
Now, for a sex offender, Mr. Sittler, and the other sex offender with his background, if he were to have his own children, what would be the restrictions on him in regard to those children?
He wouldn't be allowed to have unrestricted contact with his children. He wouldn't be allowed to live with his children because he wouldn't be able to have 24/7 supervision from a chaperone, because she's got to sleep at some point. You know, if that's the chaperone that he's got is Katie Travis, then he's going to have to live in a different residence, or the children are going to have to be somewhere else. It's just, it'd be a mess.
Mr. Lamford, the letter that Mr. Woolenweber referred to, dated May 27th, you authored that letter, is that correct to me?
I wrote it, yes.
And the position of the department summarized in the first paragraph that the Idaho Department of Correction does not support Mr. Sittler's upcoming marriage. Is that a decision that came from the department headquarters in Boise, the individuals you just discussed?
Yes.
Aside from the issue with children, do you know if the department has any other concern with Mr. Sittler getting married?
It's the only issue that they were brought to my attention was the potential of having to break up the family, you know, when the children do come.
Now, as one of his conditions of probation, Mr. Sittler is prohibited from associating with anyone that you tell him he can't associate with. Is that correct?
This is correct, yes.
I don't have any further questions, Your Honor.
Cross-examination, Mr. Willenberg?
Nothing. Thank you.
Mr. Linfear, you're the author of this letter that we had some questions about. Have you told Mr. Sittler that he may not marry Katie Travis?
As of this point, I had, because I was aware of this hearing that we were having today and didn't want to second guess what could come out of this.
All right. So as of today, you haven't told him that he can't get married?
No.
All right. So we're not to read that letter as instructing him that he is prohibited from marrying her.
It would be my chief's desire that I would instruct Mr. Sittler not to get married. I just haven't told him yet because I knew that we were having this hearing today.
And if you don't get clarity from me, you will tell him that he may not marry?
I will instruct him that he can't get married. Yes, that's correct.
Any questions in light of my questions, Mr. Thompson?
No, sir.
Mr. Willenweber.
Who's your chief?
Henry Atencio.
Please spell.
Henry is a common, and then last name, A-T-E-N-C-I-O.
What's his position?
He's the, so in the department breakdown, you've got the director, and then you've got Kevin Kempf, who is kind of the over everybody, and then Henry Atencio is the basically the chief of community corrections.
Do you have personal knowledge, sitting there today under oath, of what documents Mr. Atencio has and has not read regarding this probation?
He's been made aware of the ABLE assessment, the results of the polygraph, which I haven't received a report, but verbally was notified of the results, and then the communications that we've had back and forth. That's all I'm aware that he specifically has reviewed. I know that Dr. Craig reviewed everything and then put his opinion forth, which you've seen.
So as far as Mr. Atencio, am I saying that correctly?
Yes, as far as I know.
Your personal knowledge is that out of the really volumes of this case that go back to 2005, he's read the alleged ABLE report forwarded by Thomas Hearn.
That's what I'm aware of. I'm not aware of if he's gone in, because everybody in the department has access through computer systems to look at the pre-sentence investigation and other documents.
Whether he has, though, or has not, you simply don't know.
Correct.
And his name is not anywhere on the letter that you authored, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And I could explain that, if you'd like, how that all worked out.
No, that's fine. Okay. I don't have any other questions.
Anything else, Mr. Thompson?
No, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Lanfear. You may step down.
So, Judge, with that as background, I think that we are dealing with a couple potentially separate issues that, practically speaking, have some linkage that we need to at least plan for, if nothing else. The starting point from the state's position
is that Mr. Sittler is a self-admitted and diagnosed pedophile who has been in treatment for a number of years and by all reports has been compliant with his probation, has been compliant with his treatment. The issues that have been framed deal with, number one, the prospect of him becoming married to an adult woman, an age-appropriate relationship, at least from the information we have here. And then the other issue that stems from marriage in many situations is the prospect of children. Mr. Lanfer has been upfront with the court, as he was with me when he began talking to me about these issues in the not too distant past, that the treatment providers and Mr. Lanfer support the idea of Mr. Sittler being involved in an age-appropriate relationship, being married to an age-appropriate woman who is able to make a knowing, intelligent decision, informed decision on such a thing as entering into a marital relationship. The concerns came about, as Mr. Lanfer described to the court, not too terribly long ago, when Mr. Lanfer heard Mr. Sittler to say that once Katie, his wife-to-be, graduates school, which would be about a year or so, that they plan on starting to have children. And that's when the direct concerns arise, which the state concurs with 100%. Mr. Sittler is somebody who, even at this point in his treatment and probation, is someone who simply cannot have the possibility of unsupervised contact with children, whether they're his children or anybody else's children. That's the fact of life. That's where we are now. The purpose of the ABLE testing, from the state's point of view, wasn't to determine whether Mr. Sittler should get married, but it was to assess, or at least give us some information, try to assess what Mr. Sittler's current level of sexual interest is in regard to different genders and ages of people, including female children. Understanding that he is a pedophile, understanding that he has been in treatment. And I think a fair reading of the ABLE, when viewed from that perspective, is that he still has an elevated interest in prepubescent and adolescent females. Now, a person who gave the test and Dr. Craig both say just because there's an interest doesn't automatically mean there's going to be reoffense. And there are things that work in his favor, but nonetheless, there are concerns about children, his access to children, his own or not. The decision that brings us here today was one that was given to Mr. Lanfer by his supervisors based on their view of the totality of the circumstances, and frankly, I would view it as being at least one way to avoid the issue of what happens if Mr. Sittler has his own children by simply saying you can't get married. If you can't get married, then you can't legally have children, so we've solved the issue. Whether that is something that Your Honor deems to be an appropriate approach, I think we need to leave to you. And I don't want to pass the buck, but I've heard Your Honor say that one of the things you do is you get paid to make decisions. And I respect that. I respect that this is a complicated decision. Regardless, though, I believe that were Mr. Sittler to father children, whether in wedlock or out of wedlock, that the Department of Correction has the ability to protect those children by prohibiting him from having unsupervised contact, which could very likely include requiring him to maintain a residence separate from the children and their mother. That's a reality that Mr. Sittler has to factor in his own decision-making, and his bride-to-be needs to factor in, his wife-to-be needs to factor in her decision-making as far as their future plans to have children. So that being said, Judge, we leave this to Your Honor's discretion. We would like to avoid having to litigate this following a marriage on a probation violation basis. It is Your Honor's probation, and we are asking for your direction on how to address this issue of the marriage, with the understanding of what the department's and the state's position will be in regard to any children that may come forth in the future.
Do you understand the request, Mr. Wallenweber?
Yes.
Would you like to respond to it?
The same department that did not follow the court's order of seeing that the team that the court ordered provide regular oversight and advice to the department says the following. When a college-aged person who's marrying a college-aged person says something along the lines of, when we or she is through with college, at that point I think about start having children, and that's a surprise or news to the department is ridiculous. Surely people in the department participate in life and know college-aged persons. Surely people in the department themselves were once in college, themselves once were young, themselves once got married, and themselves wrestled with when the children may or may not come into the lives of the people who are getting married. All of this could have been done months ago and not have put the court now in a position. A week from Saturday is the wedding, and the department has cooperated and assisted in getting things to this stage, and then says, oops, they might have children. The issue of children is not before the court today, and the issue of children rightly will be and should be and always will be before this court in this case. Mr. Sittler has never denied that. It is he who came forth with far more details about his offenses than the state on its own had discovered. I'm not here to talk about children today, except to say that I concede that there has to be some mechanism in place if and when children come along under the present order, where this guy may not be in an unsupervised situation with minor children. So I concede that, but whether that has anything to do with the issue of when and if a marriage occurs, I think it's not unrelated, but it's pretty close to unrelated. The marriage should occur, as the department has been aware for months that it will occur, on schedule, and then the court, at an appropriate time, can issue orders that it thinks on reflection are appropriate and reasonable, if and when minor children enter the scene. Thank you, Judge.
Well, Mr. Wallenweber, it seems as if you are criticizing the department for not anticipating that one of the natural results of this union would be children, and yet suggesting that I take a similar approach and not address what would be a natural result of the union, which is children.
Do you mean the details regarding the dotting of the I's and the crossing of T's?
Yes.
I'm simply not prepared to do that today. This is a status conference where the issue is the wedding going to happen? Now, if the wedding occurs, there is substantial time, 30, 60, 90, 120 days downstream, when reasonable minds can get together and see if we can craft something that is sensible regarding all the details about, beyond what already exists, about Mr. Sittler and minor children. If nothing is done, Judge, if nothing were done, and the wedding occurred, the very first day that his wife comes home with the little baby, assuming they have the baby, assuming there is a baby, and assuming it's born elsewhere and she brings it home, and she falls asleep, he would have to exit the premises under the present orders, because he can't be with a minor child in an unsupervised situation. And he himself knows that, and I know that. But as far as actual logistics about how this is going to work out, we don't have to decide any of that today. And to do so on a rush basis, I think would be improvident. To schedule this matter for, go ahead and schedule this matter for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months from now, when that exact issue is going to be tackled by the state, not just by the local prosecutor, but by any people up the totem pole to Boise, they can come and give their two cents also on a non-rushed basis, then that would be the time to do it. We don't have to do all that now. He may not be alone with an unsupervised minor at present.
Thank you, Mr. Wallenweber. Anything else, Mr. Thompson?
No, Your Honor. I think the court is fully apprised of what the issues and concerns are.
Well, I think Mr. Wallenweber has accurately stated the current restrictions on Mr. Sittler. So if nothing were to change and his bride, assuming he gets married, conceives and has a baby, if they end up in the same house and she falls asleep, he would be obliged to leave. I'm going to let this wedding proceed. One of the reasons is that there's a lot of water under the bridge. That wedding is 10 days from today, and the invitations have gone out, and plans have been made based on reliance that I think was reasonable. But I think more importantly is that an age-appropriate relationship with a member of the opposite sex for Mr. Sittler is one of the best things that can happen to him and to society. I'm no expert on these testing devices, but I am familiar with them enough to know that a two-year relationship with a member of the opposite sex who is age-appropriate reduces his likelihood to recidivate, at least on a statistical basis. So here we have a young man who has committed heinous crimes and wants to engage in what I think everyone in the room would consider to be a pro-social relationship. So I'm going to let the wedding proceed. If and when Mr. Sittler and Ms. Travis have children, we will cross that bridge when we get to it, or if we need to address it sooner than that, I'm happy to address it sooner than that. But I think it's a reasonable restriction that he not reside with his wife and child in the future if, in fact, they have children. Would you like to submit an order to that effect, Mr. Wallenweber?
Yes, Judge.
I have specifically authorized Mr. Sittler's wedding to proceed. Is there anything else we need to take up?
Nothing from the state. Thank you, Your Honor. And we appreciate your guidance, particularly the prospective guidance. Thank you, sir.
Anything else, Mr. Wallenweber?
No, Judge. Thank you.
We're in recess.